batteries, and so it's all good. Welcome. It's great to see some of you back. Is anybody here for the first time? No, praise the Lord. So it's not a new group of people. Who were here this morning? Yeah, who wasn't here this morning? Get the CDs. Sorry, I had to say that just to get it off my chest. Praise God. I want to just do something to finish off a little bit from last night. Sorry about that. I like drawing sort of hieroglyphic pictures, and so I find them very helpful for me. I don't know about you, but I know that God speaks to me in pictures, and that's how we learn in the spirit kingdom world. And so one of the ways that the Hebrew, you know, we're talking about the fivefold ministry today, and it's very, very important for us to understand that God has a reason why there's a fivefold ministry. And so in this whole process here, now I've drawn up some little pictures on here, it's amazing how the Israelites built their houses. Like I really love the architecture of the Israelite houses and the way that they did their stuff. And what they would do is somewhere in the wall over here, they would set up a cornerstone that would then set up the boundary to the next cornerstone, the boundary to the next one, and they would build the layers, and then they'd come to this place here in the door. And they would make their doors in a very, very interesting way. And what they would do is they would set pillars up in place. Could somebody bring that table over for me, please? Thank you. That'd be great. You just put it over there for me. Thank you. Yep. What they would do is they would set their pillars in place, and then they would take five stones. Isn't it really interesting how David picked up five stones? It's just really important that you see the pattern of these things all the way through the Bible. And so the reason David picked up five stones is David picked up the expression of the government of God on the earth to deal with something on the earth that thought it had government, right? So what happens, you've got a giant, his name was Goliath, who went to Israel and said to the children of Israel, give me a man that I might fight with. And so the one that was supposed to be fighting Goliath was Saul. But David finds Saul sitting on his potty in his tent. Well, that's what it says when you read the Hebrew. Says a little bit more descriptive stuff than that, but that's what it means. The implication is that he was pooing himself on his stool in the tent. You know, needing a washing machine in a different way. And so, but it was interesting that David reached and took one of those stones and ran towards the army of the Philistines. So it wasn't just Goliath that David ran towards. It was the complete army of the Philistines. The Bible says David hastened and ran towards the army of the Philistines. And the army of the Philistines came to meet David. David didn't just run towards Goliath. See, when the fivefold ministry begins to get in charge, it's going to challenge the very government that sits on the face of the earth. Now people say to me, what do you mean by that? Well, perhaps if I could say, at my word, it's not going to stop raining in England until I say so. How would you feel about that? Okay. Let's put it a different way. But at my word, it ain't going to rain in your nation until I say so. And you have an elected government. It's not supposed to be doing that. You have an elected government who you have elected because they're now in charge of your nation. And 3 years goes past and the economy is going down the tubes because there's no rain. Do you think the government you've elected is still in charge? What about 5 years down the line and there's still no rain? Do you think the government's in charge? No. Because what God is looking to establish is a true government on the earth that will dictate the earth's actions to bring the kingdom to bear on the earth so that men will come to repentance and acknowledgement that there is a God in heaven. Hell, it sounds like somebody's starting to get excited now. Glory to Jesus. You're getting that freedom thing. And so, one of the issues that is kind of connected to the way the Israelites made their doors is they would take these two posts and they'd put them in the wall, and then they would make five stones. And those five stones would go across the top of the bridge like that. So you'd have some poor guy standing here holding that one, somebody standing here holding that one, somebody here standing holding that one, somebody standing holding that one. And it wasn't until this one here was put in place that the whole door began to get what is called set. And then what happens is they could build over the top of this, and no matter how much weight they put on here, this would not break because it gets set. That's why the word says, having done all, set yourself or stand. And so let's just call this apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. See, with the apostle being the one that is closest to the blueprint that empowers the rest of everything else to come into line. The problem is, without these two things, ever try to walk through a door that big? You know, if this is your space to come through the house, it's not very big. Yet it can stand, and it still provides a gap. And I believe that in the last 10 years, many of us have tried to get through that gap. Because there's two things missing. It's called the pillars. And these two pillars are called kingship and sonship. Without kingship and sonship in place, they will never have the proper government in place. So their job is to bring those to maturity to stand so that they can have a place to bring the government so that men and women can come through the door. These are known as pillars. To him who overcomes will I grant to be a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him my new name, his new name, and the name of the New Jerusalem. Three things. Now we talked about this morning. Three things. Setting up the government of God in and around your life is his new name, your new name, and the name of the New Jerusalem. Because without those names, you will not be able to go anywhere. Because your name is your identity. When the sons of God came to earth, the Bible says they put off their first estate. The word first estate means the name of their covering, which is their entry into heaven. So they chose to put off their name, which means they could not have entry into heaven again. So at the Tower of Babel, what did they say? Let us come together to make a name for ourselves in heaven. See, trying to have an entry into heaven without the need to die to self. Sounds like the church. And the most amazing thing I love about all this is, you know, everything that I'm finding in scripture now today is doing something really, really amazing. Because what it's doing, it's just setting up this, which is called a menorah. Everything for me is about the menorah. I can't get away from it. Every time I turn around, there's menorah. I thought that was funny. Anyway, at least one person got it. And so menorah is always standing in front of me. And so the reason that it's like that is because the menorah is a reflection of something in heaven and from heaven. Is this making sense for you? You're kind of all looking at me like my left eye's twitching. No, you're all good. Okay, that's your left eye twitching, not mine. Okay, praise the Lord. And so these the ways of God always end up at the base of the candlestick. Always ends up there. The weight of everything always ends up on the base of the candlestick. And I'll do a little bit more when we do some more here today. And so I just thought I'd finish that off, because I do a little bit more extensive teaching on this thing here, which is just another issue regarding the fivefold ministry and the whole apostolic thing, the whole prophetic pastor teacher thing, had all kind of fits together into this massive big pattern that God has already got a reflection of in heaven, and he's just waiting to land it. He's looking for some way to get that thing onto the face of the earth so the earth can begin to take on his image out of heaven. When Jesus said, I am, or when the Father said, you know, when Moses said to the God, who are you? He said, I am that I am. What that's really saying is, I am that I am. What that means is, I am that I am, and when I am, I am. So whether I'm in heaven or on the earth, or on the earth and in heaven, it's still the same, because it bears the same image. Everything in the Hebrew culture was always about a reflection of something going on in heaven, because the Hebrew people believe that they are a reflection of the realm of heaven. That's why the whole government set up there with the bench of 70, you know, their, what do you call it, the Sanhedrin, and the bench of 3, and the Tescum, and the local house, which is the 10, the bench of 3 and the 7 joined together, and the whole church is the judicial system for the nation of Israel, or used to be. And then you have all of the stuff associated with the court trials that go on in the local church, and the local church used to be the bank. That's why the Jews had all the money, because they used to have the church and the bank and the church, and then the church had that taken away. That's why Constantine went after the church, because if he got hold of the church, then he could get hold of the money, and he knew that once the money was gone, and the church would become poor and have no power. Right? And so Constantine really messed a lot of stuff up by taking away the prophetic and apostolic revelatory realm out of the church life. He did away with the bench of 3. in about 235 AD, somewhere around there, he did away, no, 237 AD, he did away with the bench of three and instituted pastoral government in church, and the state paid the pastors and the pastors will be told what to do by the government. Kind of sounds like the board running the church today. Same devil. And so what you have here is the realm that God is wanting to move into the face of the earth that releases his kingdom to bear. And so I just kind of thought I'd finish that off yesterday. I realized after the meeting that I hadn't done this, and I just love little pictures like this because it kind of helps to explain a few things. That's why I'm bringing maturity to the body of Christ is the role of the apostolic and prophetic and all the fivefold offices is so that when they come to maturity, then they have something to actually be lifted up and stand on that actually engages the earth with heaven. And it's only kingship and sonship that does that. Holy Spirit. And so today I really wanted to talk about another seven things, and you can take pictures of this afterwards on your cell phones, which is really helpful. And I know Pastor Mike has got a whole lot of drawings of some of this stuff because he's seen some stuff that I've done in the past. He's got a drawing that has so much more information on it that will actually blow your brain, and I kind of figure it's a little bit too much at this stage because some of you haven't really learned or even seen some of this kind of thing. And so today I want to just cover some of the issues related to the realms of God's kingdom that I have gone through in my own life and explored. And a lot of these things are in the Bible, so you know, you can't tell me, I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, that's your job. You can go home and study to approve it, not to disprove it. Okay, the Bible says the Nicolaitans went home to study, and they studied to approve a matter. We get most people who are Pharisees and demons who actually go and study to try and disprove something. And so some of these realms are very, very important for you and I to understand. When I was in Culver City, I did about a 2.5 hour teaching on this little piece here. Just that little line. And about that much of that, I did a teaching for 2.5 hours on it. Trying to explain how this realm works and what's engaged on the earth, and it's in what's called unraveling the scroll. So I'm not going to go and do a 2.5 hour dissertation on it again. It's already on a CD. Get it. But we need to understand these seven things down here. Everything for me, God works in sevens. That's why there's seven spirits of God. That's why there's seven stands on the menorah and all this kind of stuff. It's really interesting. When you see the menorah, when you see the menorah, it's some of the ones that they have are like this, but they've got another strand on them. There's nine. Some people have them with nine, and some people have them with seven. I just want to explain that to you before we go into this so you understand the protocol of this. The earth used to be the center point in heaven connected with Eden. Okay, so the Bible says this in Genesis. It says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So there's nothing called the Garden of Eden, it's the garden in Eden. Two totally different places. So let's just draw this up for you so we can get some pictures here. Here is Eden. This is north, south, east, west. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Right? And then it says a river ran through Eden to water the garden. Once it reached the garden, it says it then divided into four heads. And watered the earth. Right? And so the glory of God came through the garden to water the earth. Today, it comes through our heart. We've got four chambers of the heart. That which was a spiritual thing now becomes four chambers of your heart, because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water to water the earth. Okay, I've got a CD on. It's just more depth that actually lays it all out for you and all that stuff. And so the earth was in the center, which is right here. And when Satan fell, when Adam and Eve sinned, because Satan was a covering cherub, Ezekiel 28, and the next time you see him is in Eden, the garden that's in Eden, talking with Adam and Eve, called the chief of the beasts of all the fields. Right? And so him and Eve do whatever they do, and then you end up with, you know, a seed line that runs through the human race. And then what you end up with is Satan and Eve, Satan being cast out of heaven. And then you end up out of the realm connected with heaven. And then you have Eve and Adam being cast out of the garden to the earth. And you have something being instituted called time and space. time and space. This is time and space. It's not the timeless realm. Timeless realm was eternity. So what God had to do is shift the earth from the center and put it on the outside to bring it in time and space. And so when time and space is done away with, there's now no more record of sin. And there's also no more record of Satan. And there's also no more record of death. There's also no more record of chaos, because it's all confined in time and space. So when the Bible says God puts eternity in our hearts, we did this a bit last night, he's saying, hey, I have a timeless realm that sits inside of you. I just want you to show it. Because when you show it, the devil looks at it and goes, oh my goodness, I can't see myself there. Ah! There's no warfare needed. If you want exercise, then you go do some war. You know, when I go do some stuff, sometimes I want exercise, so I hold my papers behind my back. And have a bit of exercise and do a bit of stuff, and then when I get tired, I flash my papers. Then everything stops and everything disappears because I've got the papers. But when you don't flash the papers, you can get some exercise. It's really good for you. That's what the demonic world's there for, is to give us exercise. Now listen, I have this really good understanding with this world and the demonic world and the kingdom that's in darkness. I have a really good understanding with it. I hate it and it hates me and I win. People say to me, oh, Ian, you're arrogant. No, I'm just full of assurance because I know who my father is. Because once you've seen who the father is, you can have no doubt that you win because you've seen what you're going to be like. And then you can live out of the future. See, that's what David did. Do you know why Goliath could not kill David? Because David knew his future. I mean, wait a minute. He was anointed as king at 12 years old or whatever it was. Then he goes back out in the desert. Jing-ka-chicka-jing-ka-chicka-jing-ka-chicka. Naughty bear, give me my sheepy back. Jing-ka-chicka-jing. Naughty lion, naughty pussycat, give my sheepy back. In fact, I kill you today. See, when you live out of the future, the testimony of the present cannot harm you. No matter what goes on, its testimony cannot stand. Because when you see into the future, you know where you stand. And so Moses could write about his death before it happened, because he saw into the future. Imagine that, knowing when you're going to die. Paul knew when he was going to die. I have run my race. I have finished my course. Up in heaven is laid for me a crown. I'm going to Jerusalem. And nothing can stop him. See, when you're full of assurance and you're not afraid of death, there ain't nothing the enemy can do to you. Zip. That's why David ran towards, I could just imagine David going along. I hope that looks okay. I mean, haven't skipped for about 40 years. That was really good, actually. Can you imagine David walking around in a tutu, sort of dancing towards Goliath, you know? No, I won't even go there. Let's just paint that with the blood. That's not good. See, when we engage the testimony of the future and we live out of its expectation, then the future holds you to itself and will draw you to that conclusion without you having to work for it. Because it's a magnet that will pull you to itself. Would you like me to say that for you again? When you hold the future and you see into it, the future becomes a magnet that will pull you to itself without you even having to work for it, because it'll just draw you to that conclusion. Because that's why, without a vision, my people perish. What is your vision? If it's not out of the future, then actually you're going to die. Imagine being able to preempt all of tomorrow. Oh, we need some money. Okay, oh, thank you, Father, for lottery numbers. $16 trillion changes hands on the forex exchange every day. Maybe we can get access to maybe 1% of that a day. That's 100. That's $16 trillion. That's $1.6 billion a day. I mean, that sounds good to me. I don't know about you. If you can handle, well, you just got to deal with the dragon's wealth. Go through the book of Nehemiah and learn how to deal with your junk. And so when we live out of the testimony of what God has in the future, then the future becomes real and it draws us to itself like a magnet. That's why we've got to lift up our eyes to the Lord. Why? Because we look into the testimony of who he is, and because he's a being of light. He holds all of the future and the records of the future held in light. When we look into him, we can see into the testimony of what we're going to become. Hallelujah, Jesus. Some of you guys need to just smile. You can just take a deep breath and relax. It's all good. And so, these little things for me are really important. It just helps me understand a little bit of the functionality of heaven and the kingdom oil. And so I want to kind of go through some of this tonight and just work our way through it a little bit. I want to talk about the kingdom of the earth. We've got Adam and Eve. See, I actually believe in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I don't really care what the government says. I believe what the Bible says. And so it wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. And so when God formed Adam, Adam had male and female in him. He had all the genetic code for a female as well as all the genetic code as a male. Probably schizophrenic, but you know, he had all that code. That's the way the Bible says. Sorry, that's really bad, man. I'm just trying to get you guys to smile because you seem to be really serious. See, so God made Adam, and in Adam was Eve, right? Every other being created prior to Adam was male and female. The angels, all the sons of God, every other being was created male and female in one being. It wasn't until God reached down into this world of Adam and put Adam to sleep, took a rib, and out of the testimony of the marrow that is in the rib formed another being called woman. You can just imagine Adam standing there naming all the animals, you know, hippopotamus. I mean, where do you get those names from? Come on, give me a break. You know, can you imagine? Zebra, monkey, baboon. Whoa, man. Sorry, I know it's really bad, but I've got to make you guys smile just so we can get a bit more freer. And so, now Adam didn't name a woman, actually. It was whatever. And so, I won't go there. I'm just digging a hole for myself now. I'll just carry and dig myself out of my rut. Hallelujah, Jesus. When God separated Eve out of Adam, it is the first time in recorded history that there were two beings with separate, totally separate identities. Total singular identities, male and female. When God separated Eve out of Adam, the kingdom of the earth was established. The kingdom of the earth was the domain of Adam and Eve's government and their expression of heaven, because the Bible says in Genesis that God planted all the herbs of the field before they were in the earth, and he caused all the trees to grow before they were in the earth, because there was no man to till the ground, and there was no rain or water for the ground. So it means in Eden, which is God's garden, where the garden God put in Eden was connected to, the channel was supposed to go from Eden into the garden, into the earth, so the earth could look like Eden. So if God's design was that it looked like Eden, then we need to know we're going to be able to terraform it so it can look like it should have looked in the first place. I'll just sit over here and preach to these guys, seeing as how they seem to be enthusiastic about it. In the atmosphere or the kingdom of the earth, you've got the atmosphere of the earth. In the atmosphere of the earth, there's three layers. Three clearly identifiable layers that surround the earth. Okay? You've got these three layers that look there. And it's actually amazing because those three layers have three structures of protocol associated with the demonic occupation of the atmosphere of the earth. The lowest level, you have principalities. And then you have powers. And then you have wicked spirits. And then rulers of darkness above the atmosphere. Rulers of darkness of this age were seated in what? Heavenly places. So it means that some of that which is above the atmosphere also came into darkness. Remember, four things open up a window: principalities and powers, wicked spirits, rulers of the darkness of this age. I really hope this is wrecking your theology, because it really needs to, because actually we've got to change what we've been doing. Oh, fans, really lovely. And so, the kingdom of the earth was formed, and Adam's domain and dominion was put into the kingdom of the earth so that God could shift into Adam's care the realm that he had made for them to sit into. And he said to them, go into the earth and multiply, and then they sin. So I'd like to suggest to you that perhaps Adam and Eve had some children before they sinned. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, all the record of the testimony of what belonged to them was put into time and space. To confine the testimony of darkness, the power of it, the control of it, the influence of it, the record of it, so that in the time to come, when everything would be cast into the lake of fire and burnt, it would be a finish. And that's why a new heaven and a new earth is going to come out of heaven. Where is heaven? It's in us, as well as on the outside of us. And so it's going to come out of you as much as it is going to come upon you. So we're going to be terraforming, and God's going to go, I think I'll join in. So the kingdom of the earth, in the kingdom of the earth, immediately around us, in the atmosphere, you've got light and dark. You know, the Chinese kind of have got it right, but they also got it really mixed up. You know, the yin-yang thing, light and dark, in balance. Well, I'm sorry, I don't believe that, but I do know there's light and dark in this atmosphere. But light always dispossesses darkness. It's never in balance. Your choices are what creates the strength of either of each side. It's your choices that either expand or contract the kingdom world that operates around you and the atmosphere around you. Your choices do that. So you can't carry on doing your stuff and saying, oh, Jesus just took of the cross and carry on doing it, because actually then what you're doing is you're denying the power of God. And then Jude talks about what you are, a wandering star who's reserved the darkness and blackness of ever, which is out of court, you know, a raging wave foaming at your own shame, a cloud without water, twice plucked up, you know, without fruit. Just read the book of Jude. And so when the kingdom of earth was formed, the realm of light and dark was put here so that you could make choices. In Joshua, it says, in 16:7, it says something, choose whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't go to sleep on me. Don't go to sleep on me. One warning. And so we choose where we go and what we do, and those choices become a reflection. The Hebrews don't believe in first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. We talked a little bit about that last night. What the Hebrews believe is that the kingdom that is in light is as close to you as the air that you breathe. When you lean into it, it becomes the source of your supply. They also believe the kingdom that is in darkness is as close to you as the air that you breathe. And when you turn into it, it becomes the source of your supply. So whatever becomes the source of your supply around you is a measure of what's going on inside of you, because that's reflection of what you're leaning into. So you either have the warm or the glory or the of darkness. The next level, which is the second level of the realms of God. Each of these levels has seven layers in it. And again, I explained this more in that other teaching. But God sits on his throne here in heaven. And there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the seven spirits of God that are before them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so here's the throne, like that. And so what happens is this is a extension of the government of the Father's throne that moves out through these seven. And each of these seven have seven each, and then each of these seven have seven each, and each of these seven have seven each, and each of these seven have seven each, until it comes all the way down through, all the way down here. So this seven layers, you've got seven upon seven upon seven upon seven upon seven right into the center of the earth. The earth's got seven layers in it, by the way. The first three are in darkness. The last four, which are in the center of the earth, are full of glory and fire and beauty and majesty. That's why the earth has a molten center crust. It's not just because it was a star. So the next level up is known as the kingdom of God. The Bible says, that Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, it's an extension of the governmental realm of God being expressed through you in the domain of a kingdom that is now being brought to bear into darkness. These are good semantics, aren't they? Kind of helps you get your brain around some of the stuff. When you listen to them long enough, you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. Because what I'm trying to do is frame up semantics that will be helpful for you in the future, so that when you read the Bible, you don't read it like you've always read it. So when Jesus said the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you've got to realize he's talking about two different realms. Right? So in the New Testament, the kingdom of God came, was within you. In the Old Testament, and I said this yesterday again, and I'll say it again today, when in Genesis 28, when Jacob met the Lord said to him, you know, I am the Lord your God of your fathers. What he was doing was establishing a protocol. I am the Lord your God. In Hebrew is Anoki Elohim Yahavah. Anoki means I am the Lord Elohim your God Yahavah. Elohim means know his works. Yahavah means I'm with you, to the New Testament where I'm in you. Right? So the kingdom of God is within me. In the Old Testament, it used to come upon people. Or so they want us to believe. Unless you lived in the future. Like David, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Ah, wait a minute. My doctrine here says the Holy Spirit was given when Jesus released it and went into heaven. So I mean, David already come into the future and experienced the cross and experienced Jesus going to heaven and the Holy Spirit being given in their day, way into the future in his day, because he said, don't take it from me. So it means we can live in the resurrection glory power of transfiguration in our day. And I just thought you might like to know that. Some of you are nodding your heads now, you're starting to get into it a bit with me. And so, the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom is an expression from within me of the extension of God's government into the earth to bring his realm to bear, to change the record of what is here. We've got to change what is, because it's in a mess. I'm looking forward to moving into the galaxies and turning dark matter, which is 78% of all known of space out there, is dark, called dark matter and dark energy. I'm looking forward to turning all that into light. It's going to be our job to sit in the galaxies and go, whom. Make it all come light. I can make some noises. I'm going to speak some more words now. You see, God has these things that are locked inside his word that are so important for us, and we miss it because no one has said, hey, have a look at this. Pay attention to that and see what God says in the middle of it. The next one is known as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the power of God coming upon something. You and I, when we pray with people, we need the kingdom of God within us, and then we need the kingdom of heaven coming upon it because it sees its own reflection functioning. What's the function of two? To open up an ark that the glory can come down. So you've got the kingdom of God in you, the kingdom of heaven on the outside of you. It opens up an ark for the full manifestation of all of that to go onto the earth. That's calling getting download. Well, oh, maybe you need some new limbs. Warm. RNA form, matter form, solid object form out of nothing. Because in the new millennium, that's how we're going to do things. We will not have to build anything. Out of light and power, you'll create it. Now, E equals MC squared, basic physics formula. The kingdom of heaven is the domain of the realm of God. That's where the extension of his government is spread out, where we need to learn how to function. The next one is known as heaven. Heaven isn't all of that. Heaven is all of that, but actually there's a place called heaven, which is the realm and the abode of the person of God. That's where God sits, on his throne, in the centerpiece of everything. That is supposed to be our starting point. We think we get saved and we get Holy Ghost stuff and we do stuff and we go, wow, and that's why Jesus said, don't rejoice in the signs and wonders, but rather rejoice that your name is written. Why? Because that's our starting point, because this is where our name is displayed the moment you get saved. You just haven't caught up with the revelation of what your name really says yet. Because remember, our new name is your entry into the realm of the Father. That's why we've got to get a new name. And the Lord renamed me. That's why I have Son of Thunder. Because my name in Hebrew means a glorified voice in fire. Anyway, and so, the next one we have up here is the heaven of heavens. This is the place of the domain of God. Now, what I really love about God is that God has to extend his government down through heaven into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the earth. He has to extend his government down because it's in a mess. But everything that is above heaven, the Father extends his love into it and he serves it through who he is. See, it's really interesting because Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I will be seated above the Most High, because here there's thrones as well. And Satan's thinking, oh, these piddly, weak, frail things, mudman, is going to have a position here? I don't think so. I think I'll have some of that. And perhaps if I do enough in heaven and trade with enough, I can get enough gold to buy myself there. Because he wanted to be above it, because he sees the structure, you see. He doesn't really realize that there's more power here than there is here, because this is service. God holds all this by the power of his word. I mean, have you ever wondered what it was like, that poor guy who had the ark of God sitting inside his room? I mean, the first TV ever invented in the Bible, sitting and watching what's going on between the wings of the cherubim, having a nightly display of warm. The next one up is the realm of perfection. Paul says this, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. Wait a minute, I don't believe any one of us could ever be perfect. Or so we're told. See, our perfection only comes out of a measure of our engagement in the realm of his presence. Once we engage that, and we engage the levels of occupation, and our territory begins to grow, then we come into it to be able to express the full image of God on the face of the earth. And if God is perfect, then you're going to be perfect. I just need to say something here. Before you die! God didn't give all the promises to dead men. He didn't. He gave them to people who are alive. John 6, eat my body. You're going to live forever. That means not die. He says it 5 times. Just got to read it. It's all there. I do a teaching on it. Get the CD. But he said it once, twice so far. Praise the Lord. The next level of the government of God's expression is the realm of eternity. I really love these 7 arenas because they really do something that I find astonishingly amazing. Because they form something. Everything's about the menorah. The Bible says this in Genesis, that God put cherubims and a flaming sword, some lightning coming off it, in the way of the tree of life. The only realm you and I do not have access to until we have overcome and bear his image is the realm of perfection, of eternity. Because this record cannot go in there yet until this record has taken on the image of that once again. And so there's some really wonderful little things that go on here. Because in the menorah, there's 4 gates. And the way we move up and down in the kingdom is you come from the earth into the atmosphere of the realm of his presence. And we move into the candlestick through the door into here. Into the candlestick, through the door, into here. This is how we move, people. But also the candlestick. This is not hard. Once you see it, you get an understanding. Oh, so that's how it works. Yep. That's why we have down here in the kingdom of the earth, you have either the 4 chambers of your heart or the 4 elements and connected inside your body. And the next one up here, you have all the 4 points of the compass. The next one up here, you have the 4 corners of the earth in here. And the next one up here, you have here we got the 4 elements, 4 points of the compass, 4 corners of the earth, 4 cherubim or 4 doors, which guard it here anyway. And then we have the 4 spirits of heaven, the 4 winds of heaven, and the 4 portals of heaven. And all of this comes through the 4 doors, which sits into the 4 chambers of the heart, which waters the earth. See, any of you been getting 4444 lately? Oh, there's only one of you that's kind of prophetic. Oh, you as well. Being in numbers like 2244, well, God's trying to say something. You know, this is 4-4. 2-2 means ark. 3-3 means government. And so these things are really, really important for me to understand. I can move, but I must start in this realm here. That realm is as close to me as the air that I breathe. I have the capacity through Jesus Christ to step into the realm of his presence and engage the atmosphere of who he is and enjoy that plan. enjoy that process. We need to experience the atmosphere of what it's like to stand in Him in that world that's right here. And our choice, we need to go into it. We have got to enter into that world and engage it. Because the provision that is in that world has got to be brought back with you into this world so you can administrate it into the world. How many of you have been here before and we've done that step in, step out? Half of you. One third of you. Okay, let's get on our feet. This is something I did for years and I practiced over and over and over until I became perfect at it. And then I walked around 25 k's a day, walking, going in, out, every time I was taking a step forward, as in a step backwards, I was going in, out, in, out, in, out. I used to stand in my workplace and I'd be doing this for an hour, seeing all sorts of wonderful things. Supposed to be paying attention to my work, but you know, I don't really care. Whatever. That's what it works for, is to actually engage. And so, it's important for you and I to know that heaven is accessible. That it's not some big mystery world that is so far away. I can never be touched by it. I can never experience it. I can't enjoy the provision of what God has in that world for me. What a waste of time if I believe that. And here's another thing. I don't have to go through any other spiritual kingdom world to enter into the realm of my Father. Jesus tore the veil to give me entry directly into it. It's when I come out that I choose to go through the spirit world because I bring the glory down. That's a lot of fun. But the kingdom world of the Father is as close to you as the air that you breathe, and you can step into it anytime you like. Why? Because Jesus tore open the veil. He made a way for you and I to come before the throne of God and the presence of His glory anytime we like. And it has no conditions on it, by the way. So the biggest sinner and the biggest saint have access to the same thing, because God is not a preferential treater of people. He's saying, here is my provision, enter into it. And you can choose not to, or you can choose to want to. That depends on what you want to do. If Jesus tore that veil and He gave me entry, then it means I can do, you know, I can step into it. Now, I believe in faith. You've got to have faith to believe this kind of stuff. Actually, it does require faith for me to believe. But what Ian's saying is that I can step through into the world of God and actually not fall over, not freak out, not have all those kind of other things. Because actually, it's not the highest level, it's the lowest level. And therefore, I have access to all the provision that's in the lowest level. Let's engage the lowest level until we learn about the lowest level. Then we can get higher and get a higher level of engagement and a higher level of provision. But we've got to practice the way in and the way out. And so if God has made a way through Christ, then in the atmosphere of the earth, as close to me as the air that I breathe, is the kingdom world of my Father. Not devils. Not the demonic world that I have to try and go through to get there. It's my Father's kingdom is right here. If Jesus tore the veil, then He gives me entry in. I want you just to be able to take a small step forward. Yep, take a small step backwards. Small step forwards, just making sure you can all do it without bumping into everyone else. Small step backwards. Okay, I want you to close your eyes. See, it requires me to have faith to believe that Jesus really, really, really did tear that veil. That He did really make a way for me to come into the realm of the presence of my Father. The Bible says that Jesus is the door. That no one can come unto the Father except through Him. We have a choice to make to go in. The Bible says this, whatsoever man desires, when he prays, let him ask and he shall receive. Father, our desire, my desire, Lord, is to enter in through that veil, to enter into the world of your presence, to be able to engage the supply of all that I need for my life. Lord, I know it requires faith because I can't necessarily see what's going on. But Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please you. For we must believe that you are a rewarder of the diligent. And Lord, today I want to thank you that I have this capacity as a spirit being to be able to step into your world by faith. And so, Father, today we want to stand before the veil of the curtain of your presence that you tore, Jesus, to give me entry. Today, Lord, I put my hands out to that curtain. I find the tear in that curtain. And by faith today, I open it and take a step forward. I open it and I step forward through the curtain into the realm of the atmosphere of your presence. Father, regardless of whether I feel it or not, by faith and out of desire, I stand in the realm of your presence. Lord, according to your word, the moment I show up in your presence, the first thing you do is strip me of every unrighteous thing that has ever been over, in, or through my life. Jesus, I thank you that as I stand here today, you cloak me with a new garment of righteousness, one that is absolutely and totally made holy, the supply of my Father because of my entry into his world. Father, today I engage that new garment. I wrap it around my spirit. I wrap it around my soul, Father, in the name of Jesus. I engage the provision of all that that means for me as a son as I stand here in your presence today. Father, I thank you for the gift of righteousness that I receive from being in your presence. Father, today I step back, take a step back, I step back out of the atmosphere of your presence, bringing that realm of the garment of righteousness with me that is now covering my life as a testimony of the provision of heaven as I stand here in the atmosphere of the earth. Father, today I choose you. I choose you, Lord, above everything else. I choose you, Lord, and your supply of everything you've given me out of your world. I choose you, Father. Hallelujah. Can open your eyes. Now, the reason that I do that is so that you can have it on the CD and you can go home and you can practice with it. Practice makes perfect. You've got to practice your profession. You've got to practice your entry in and your exit out until it becomes second nature, and therefore you can live consciously aware of your spirit man being in the presence of God, engaging the supply of everything that he has in his world and in bringing it down to you here and administrating it into the world around me. And it does require faith, but let me tell you something, practice. So tomorrow morning, get up and practice for 15 minutes going in. I don't care how you pray, go in. Engage anything that is in that realm of heaven that you need for your life. That's why it is there. All my Father's kingdom is there for my supply and my needs. That's why it says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy and help in the time of my need. All of us have needs, and we've just got to enter into it. When we go into it, we enter into our rest. And then I bring the best back with me. Amen. I want us to have a break for kind of an hour. It's 20 minutes actually, so it's